to hang up and dial back in, so they should be joining.
Okay.
Any second. There they
are. Hey, Jim.
Jim on?
Yep.
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 Did we dial the right number?
No, there's a right number. I checked.
No, you're on.
It works now.
All right, we're on. I don't know what happened. Whatever.
Just in case, you guys, let me give you my phone number. Just in case that happened again, you could call me, and then you won't sit there, and I'll sit there, and we'll both sit there for, you know, I'll call you after about 5 minutes typically. But my number is 317-418-8624, so you can text. Probably not text me because I use this phone for my calls. But just
no
go
problem.
Ahead and call me, and then you'll know that, you know, you're there. But anyway. Okay, well, welcome. Welcome. Before we get into week five, what's on your mind?
Nothing in particular. I know we had talked about going to a bi-weekly game plan, which I think will be better for us as far as having enough time to do the things that we need to do in between the calls. So, you know, we're moving along here. We're moving along. I guess that's the way I would describe it. So we're gonna try to make sure we, you know, keep up if we can.
Okay, we can't do bi-weekly, and the reason is you get a times. I work Monday and Wednesdays, and you get a time slot. You've got one. There's people waiting to do Supernova. And so you're in a kind of a conveyor belt. And if I take you out biweekly, that it moves the program from 3 months to 6 months, for one thing, and it takes up a slot because I can't put somebody in biweekly to take your place. So
I thought we had confirmed that.
Cindy did set up a new schedule, having Easton and State College alternate calls. Easton's going to do this week and next week at 9, and then the following week, State College is going to do 9. And it's just for 2 weeks. Only two meetings, but Cindy freed up the 10 o'clock slot and put us both in the 9 o'clock slot.
Okay, so that'll just happen for 2 weeks, and then we go back.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Yeah, because sometimes you need a break, but typically, like, we started November 6th, and it's January 15th, and this is only our fifth call. So, you can see there are interruptions that happen through calendar interruptions and other things to give you a break. But if you've done that, that's fine. And guys, what you're feeling now, you will not feel in week 8. You'll be in the system, and you'll have made. You've gotten the clients signed up, and you'll be in the system. You won't feel the anxiety you're feeling now. This is the hardest part of Supernova. The segmentation and organization is the hardest part. It's when you know people say, "Get me skinny, and then help me to get organized, and then keep me organized." and then help me to grow and keep me growing. So getting organized is hard. You got to, you know, clean out a closet sometime. It's not easy. I just moved from a, you know, a 5,500 square foot house into a 1,500 foot condominium in Nashville. Well, that was torture. But you know what? We didn't need all the stuff, and someday you'll have to get rid of it anyway. So, and you know, we got to be doing this every year, is keeping ourselves skinny and lean. But doing it the first time is really hard. Anyway, getting organized. Are you guys set in terms of who's doing what, who's building folders, who's keeping track of the scheduler?
Yes.
And all that? Okay, good.
Yes.
All right, how many people are signed up? How many clients do you have signed up in the system? They've got a folder and they've got a date and a schedule.
Well, I would say, you know, we're working on 20.
What does that mean?
We have 20.
Yeah. Okay.
We got a little behind, but we're trying to catch up here.
Okay.
So, you know, we're doing what we need to do in order to, you know, get to where you want us to be.
All right. So give me some feedback in terms of what clients are saying and how they're. What are they thinking? What are they saying about Supernova? What were the calls like?
Well, I think we had discussed previously that, you know, some of the clients didn't know if, you know, having to have a call each and every month, you know, was necessary. I mean, so that was some. And then there were others that, you know, appreciated the fact that, you know, they are going to be part of an advanced service, you know, partnership. I mean, so.
One question I had, Rob, is, you know, when the initial call explaining the process, you know, those seem to go okay, but should each be followed up by a letter, or does it have to be, or would it be preferable to be followed up by the letter introducing the new service model?
The average person has to hear an idea 5 times to move it from their short-term memory to their long-term memory. So you decide how you want those 5 information transfers to happen. Okay?
Okay.
So you can... I had a 5-time rule. As a manager, I had a 5-time rule. It wasn't your responsibility as an FA to understand a new concept until I had shared it with you 5 times.
I'm thinking you tell them about it, there's a letter or an email maybe, and then you're also sharing, asking them what time is preferable for them to schedule the weekly calls or meetings. So there's 3 already.
Monthly.
Yeah, sorry, monthly. Does that make sense?
Right. And you're going to send them an agenda with a follow-up email telling them when the call is. Now, keep in mind, you guys want to make sure you control your calendar. So don't give them an open calendar of when they want to. I mean, you tell them when they, you know, you've got either Monday at 9 or Tuesday at 9 or even Wednesday at 9. But don't give them the whole day. Because that will wreck your day.
And I've been putting these in as, like, hour blocks. Is that too much, or is that
No, that's absolutely what you have to do.
Okay.
Yeah, because you...
Because some aren't going to take a whole hour, is really why I'm asking that.
Of course not, right. So the idea is that, you know, you call me and I'm on the, you know, I've got time to take the call, but I've got another call at, you know, 10:20. Mm-hmm. And I tell you as a client, I've got to leave for bridge at 10:20. So let's make this snappy. And you're like, yay, okay. And you can do the same thing. You can say, you know, Rob, I'd love to spend some time this morning chatting, but I've got another call at 10:30, but I didn't want to cancel this call. So if we can't cover everything in the half an hour, then we'll reschedule for more time later on. Is that okay? And the client goes, yeah, sure. That's no problem. So you can control your time based on your schedule. And it makes, frankly, it makes you, you know, when they know that you're organized and you're busy, they value you more. So the reason we use one-hour blocks is because when the client comes in for their semi-annual and their annual review, they're going to take up that full, say, 50 minutes. And if you've got half-hour increments, you just screwed up your whole day. Keep in mind, you'll probably, if you signed up 100 clients with the scheduler, you would have one in-person meeting every day, one quarterly review, and three other agenda meetings. Okay? So you'd have five each day.
One in person.
Yep. One quarterly review.
One quarterly.
Yep. And then three regularly scheduled appointments. So that's 100 clients. If you have 50 clients, it's half that.
It could be a phone call, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. These are all the only one, you only have one in person a
yeah.
day.
Okay.
Now, that's typically if you're going to do them spread out for 5 days. You can, though, adjust your schedule to what you want. So you say to yourself, you know, I'm a morning person. I'd like to get them all done in the morning, and then I'll prospect in the afternoon. Or I like to prospect early because I talk to doctors, and, you know, so I prospect in the morning, and I do my phone calls in the afternoon. Or I like to, you know, call clients 4 days and leave Fridays for prospecting. So it's
okay.
Kind of up to you. If you're going to visit clients in Florida to do in-person meetings because they live in Florida and you don't, then you want to kind of pack those together. So if you're, you know, if you're going to Naples to visit 6 clients, you'd do a 9, a 12, and a 3, and then that'd be Monday, and then Tuesday you'd do a 9, 12, and 3. That would be their permanent time then.
Okay.
Okay. Just some nuances that kind of come up over time we've dealt with.
Rob, you mentioned sending the agenda. Is that for every meeting, or is that just for the in-person meeting?
No, that's for every meeting.
So at what point do you establish that? I mean, that's obviously going to take a little bit of time.
It should come from the financial plan. I mean, remember, with what we offer with Supernova is multi-generational planning. The full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of those of the plan and 2 of them in person. So that's the mantra that you use. And therefore, we develop our agenda from the plan, because the plan typically, we will take care of the things that are the most urgent first from the plan, leaving things that we have to get to eventually, and the 1242 helps us to get to all those things.
Barbara, are letters in these agendas, are they already approved on CRC?
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we can find a CRC number for them?
Yeah, I can get them for you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And then what you want to do to round out the concierge service experience is send them an executive summary of what you agreed to. Now, this has a lot of effects. It's amazingly positive. The clients will love it. First of all, as people get, you know, the average person over 85 has dementia. Okay? So that's the average person. So people in their 80s typically have some dementia. And they get very annoyed when they can't remember things. So from a compliance point of view, one of the, you know, there's like three major problems we have with compliance. One is suitability. Another is too many transactions. And the third is I say, you say, where that you sold them something and they don't remember it, or they, you know, you said this is the way it was and they disagree. The executive summary takes care of the I say, you say, because if they accept the executive summary, they accept what it is that you said. So you want to put in there what you agreed to, and then who's responsible. It also has the benefit of helping you to get the client to do what they said they're going to do. Because we've all been students, and when the teacher tells you that this is your assignment, you typically do it, especially good students. And when there
now,
when it's vague, we don't typically do it. You know, I'll get to that someday, right? I'll do that financial planning. I'll fill out that financial planning form someday, or I'll meet with my estate planning attorney someday, or I'll. So this way, you know, let's say you have four bullet points of things you agreed to, and you put down who it's responsible, and then you can put down the date that you set for that meeting or the date that you're going to follow up. And that holds them accountable, so you'll get more compliance with the planning process rather than, you know, it's frustrating, especially if you don't get paid to follow up on these things, but it really works. So there is in the workbook sample agendas and sample summaries.
What section would the executive summary be in? Do you know off the top of your head?
Well, I think if you look on chapter 14, we have in chapter 14 a lot of samples of the folder system and other things.
Okay. So just to clarify, the executive summary should be at what point in the process?
After a meeting.
After the first meeting?
After each meeting.
Each meeting. Okay. And
do you realize how much mail that's going to be?
That's the next question. Is that email, mail?
No, that's just email. That's email.
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 It's all email. Yeah. We're not looking to kill your productivity.
Sure.
We want to, everything, you know, Supernova eliminates what we call the insidious thieves of time. And so if you don't, you know, you want to do it right, so you take advantage of that. So you eliminate unintended interruptions, phone tag, hold time, distractions, procrastination, multitasking, disorganized workplace, etc. So one of the big ones is phone tag. No more phone tag. And as my friend Larry Wilson used to say, the natural result of communication is misunderstanding. So with the executive summary, you eliminate misunderstandings. And it doesn't have to be long. It can be 4 bullet points and, you know, 3 bullet points, 1 bullet.
Just a synopsis of the meeting, really, right?
That's right, right. You know, I don't want to hear about 15 pages of summary of what everybody said. No, this is not the minutes. This is an executive summary of actions taken.
Makes sense.
And we could actually tell them in the meeting that we're going to follow up with the executive summary via email.
Right. So let's say you've got a big client, and he's a CEO of a company, and he's on a bunch of different boards. And you say to him, this is, you know, once a month, think of this as your board meeting. I'm your CFO, you're the CEO, and we're going to have an agenda for the meeting, so we blow through it as fast as possible. Make sure that your time is most efficient. And then I'll send an executive summary to you of what we discussed. He'll be like, yay, this is what I want from every meeting. Okay?
Yep.
So the more efficient, people say to me, you know, oh, my guys are so busy. They're running around all over the place. They'll never do this. You introduce this supernova to them, they'll take out their calendar and say, okay, what time, when? Because that's the way they live. They love this.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So this week 5, is the beginning of we're working on an organization, what's in the folder, why do we have things in the folder. But we also introduce the 5-step process for centers of influence and developing centers of influence. So there's a lot for you guys to take in. Here's what I recommend. The Supernova Multiplier was designed to help you, the book, my second book. It was designed to help you understand what we've learned in the last 12 years. So in the last 12 years, we've coached thousands of teams, and we've had hundreds of good examples of people doing different strategies that work to develop business in conjunction with Supernova. So how do you use Supernova to grow your practice? That's the Supernova Multiplier, multiplying the effect of giving great service. You're busy people. You're not going to sit and read it typically unless you're going on an airplane somewhere. My recommendation is get the audio version of it, download it, get Audibles on your iPhone. It's an Amazon app. Download the Supernova Multiplier and listen to it on the way to work and the way home from work. Because there's a lot of information that you're not going to be able to absorb one time. So I recommend you listen to each chapter 5 times. You can listen to the whole book all the way through and then go listen to it again. But as I said, you're not going to really know something unless you've heard it 5 times. So rather than it be frustrating for you, and you're trying to absorb all of this, give your brain a little help and let it hear it more than once. You'll hear it You hear it on the video. You hear it. It's in the workbook. You hear it from me. But hearing it
Hello? I think we lost him.
Must have a hard out at
Barb, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
We lost him.
Yeah. Well, he may dial back in. We're still on the call, so it just takes him to dial back in.
Okay.
He doesn't know he's off.
10:30.
Sorry, I just got knocked off for some reason. I apologize.
No problem.
Okay, so the homework for this week is to meet with the Center of Influence if you haven't done that already and try the five steps. First is to identify a good center of influence that you either have now or would like to have and meet with them and tell them the supernova story. Okay, and then go through. Basically, the five steps are you meet with them, get them to agree that doing business with you as a partner is a good idea. You then go and meet their staff, which would be a normal thing to do. Then they come and meet your team. You introduce them through the five-star model. And then you meet again and teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model. And then you begin your regular 12-4-2s with them. And what we find is that if you meet regularly with a person of influence that likes you and trusts you, they will send you much more business. It's sort of one of these out of sight, out of business. And so your job is to find introductions for them, and their job is to find introductions for you. And so you use the enthusiastically endorsed model, which is asking all your clients and friends, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? And when they can't, you introduce them to your client. Now, you're required to introduce three different people. And when they say, who should I take of these three, you say, I want you to meet them all, and I think, you know, whatever you think is a good fit. This one particularly gets a lot of enthusiastic endorsements. So that, from a compliance point of view, eliminates the problem of, you know, you being liable if they run off with your money, with the money. So that's the homework, okay?
Okay.
Work on that. I think you'll love it. Centers of influence work, but we have to, you know, it's not something that's a part-time operation. It's an all-the-time project, becoming good friends with that person. So pick somebody you want to become friends with.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.